हरि ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकर वावहै कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 7. Rajanath, Babaji, who are the Nitya Siddhas and who are the Sadhana Siddhas? Raghunath Das Babaji. The complete embodiment of Sri Krishna's Swarup Shakti is Srimati Radharani. Her immediate personal expansions are the Astasakis, the eight principal gopis, who further expand as the Nitya Siddha gopis, who are thus the Kaya Vyuha, bodily expansions of Srimati Radharani. They are all Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect, and not in the category of Jiva Shakti. They are an exclusive class of their own, being the expansions of the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. Right, so it's the Jivas are in another category, so they may be Nitya Siddhas, or they may be in the material world, right, and then attain to the position of Nitya Siddha. But here we're talking about that Radharani and her direct expansions, they're all Nitya Siddha, because they're all internal potency, right? Eternal potency is not going to be distracted by its own shadow, right? But the Jivas being very small, then they can become distracted by the shadow. That makes sense. So they're always then there. The general Sakis of Vraja had attained perfection through their intense engagement in Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, and were later elevated to association with the Nitya Siddha expansions of Srimati Radhika. They are perfect examples of Sadhana Siddha Jivas. By being imbued with the Haladini Shakti by the mercy of Srimati Radhika, they have attained Salokya to serve with the Nitya Siddha Rajagopis. Right, so because they're doing the sadhana very nicely, they get elevated to the position of being on the same planet. So then you're in the same pastimes. So by getting that association, then they have also then come to the perfect platform. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. One thing I can't understand, that I often have heard the argument that we, being an extension of Krishna, in order to love him, we've been endowed with free will to either love him or choose to not love him. And that free will is a necessary component if it's going to be real love. Without choice, there's no love. It's forced. So
no, it's not forced. See, okay. That's taking extreme. So and then the next case you're going to, so there's therefore we have love, so how about the internal potency, because they don't have that. No, they already have love. They're just expansions of Radharani. It's a different category. See, Jivas, they are imbued with this independence, but they have their independence, but they're not going to become distracted by the shadow. We misuse our independence. So they're also using their independence to serve Krishna, but they aren't so small that they become distracted by the material energy. See, the thing is we're trying to answer the question, why are we here? But it's not because we're here. Why isn't everybody else here? That's getting just downright nasty. You know what I'm saying? That's where by material intelligence you can't understand God, because we just take the mathematical calculations. Well, if this is like that, then you could do like that, and so therefore this. But what has that got to do with understanding bhakti? The point is the jivas, they have that independence because they're so small, they can make that mistake. The other ones are big, they don't make the mistake. You know what I'm saying? Little babies are independent. They stick everything in their mouth. The big people are independent. They don't stick everything in their mouth.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Nothing like a little anamoy to explain it. Those devotees who are engaged in Raganuga Bhakti and Madhurya Rasa are elevated as Shakis, i.e. gopi friends of Srimati Radhika, when they attain perfection. Other sadhakas may endeavor solely upon the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, putting aside the internal practices of Raganuga Bhakti, to satisfy the rirumsa. What is rirumsa? Well, I have no idea what a rirumsa is. Maybe if you put a Chinese accent on it or something. Rirumsa. So that would be that we go into an L. So lilumsa. I don't know. I don't get it. Okay. To satisfy the amorous desires of Sri Krishna with deference to Shastric import. Okay, with deference to Shastric import. In other words, they're putting aside the internal practices with deference to the... Later, when leaving their bodies, these practitioners of exclusive Vaidhi Bhakti may serve Krishna and Dwarka as his married queens. The practice of taking shelter of Sri Radha, the goddess of Raja, and of Raja Gopis is outside the curriculum of Vaidhi Bhakti Marg. Thus, only those who nurture Raganuga Bhakti internally and practice the Vaidhi Bhakti discipline externally will attain the perfection of service in Vraja. Now, also, you mentioned there the point of externally it's Vaidhi Bhakti. But the point is it's what makes the path is specifically, means in other words, Raganuga, Sadhana Bhakti means the 64 items of devotional service. Following those because that's the Shastric recommendation, right? Then that'll be Vaidhi. Doing where one is more focused on that faith in Krishna as a person who we can have that interrelationship with. So one's performing the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, but internally cultivating that mood, right? That will get one into Braj. But if one just stays practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, one figures that one is comfortable with that as the position. And it prefers working through the rules. Then one, because it's directed at Krishna, then one will become one of the queens in Dwarka. Like that. Or assistants to the queens, because we're jivas. So generally, serve Krishna in Dwarka as his married queen. So one may either become one of them, or they become a maidservant of one of those queens. Yes?
Usually we hear that you follow Vaidhi Bhakti in the beginning, and then when it matures, you may get to Raganuga Bhakti.
Yes.
But here's the point that you just made this conscious decision. You're not overwhelmed by the taste, so you don't want to move. I don't understand how it goes.
I don't understand.
When you follow Vaidhi Bhakti,
right,
because you don't have the... I mean, you're not that pure.
No, but there are those who prefer the organization of the rules. So they prefer serving through the rules. Like in Dwarka, they have love for Krishna, but they like to express it through the rules, that form, that formality. So that's why they're there. But when they're not worried about the formality for as creating the form for expression, then that's Raganuga.
So this goes on when a person is on the liberating path already.
Which goes on?
The person that they prefer, because
that can happen before, but it's at the liberated stage that it really has some significance. But before that, they can always already have that direction. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Means, yeah, yes.
if a Juma becomes a maidservant of the queen, do they stay like, is that their eternal spiritual world position, or do they, can they go to Vrindavan from there?
No, they would stay there.
They stay there?
Yeah. Because the point is they prefer the raga, the vaidis, the form of vaidhi, the form of the rules. So they stay there. Just like in Vaikuntha, they stay there because they prefer. There it's the rules, but with only within dasya ras. But dwarka means it's the rules, but through all five rasas.
So that's just the personality of their spirit soul.
Yeah, yeah. That's just their, you know, the preference. Brajanath, Guruji, by your mercy and lucid explanations, I have understood all that you have said so far. However, is there any difference between kama and prema? If they are the same, is not the use of the word prema sufficient? The word kama adds a slightly jarring note. Raghunath Das Babaji, yes, there are differences. The word prema is relevant to sambandha rupa ragatmika bhakti, which has no involvement with kama, because in the mellow of sambandha rupa ragatmika bhakti, the relationship between Krishna and the devotee is that of fellow family members. This mellow of familiar relationship with Krishna is bereft of sambhoga icha, the desire for amorous self-satisfaction. So to use kama in this context would be a gross mistake. Sambandha rupa raga bhakti is certainly prema, but without the aspect of keli, amorous overtures and passion. When the element of sambhoga icha is mixed with simple prema, the two emotions amalgamate to create kama rupa rag bhakti, which is only present in madhurya rasa, not in the other mellows. The Vrajagopis are the sole inheritors and possessors of this kama rupa bhakti. They're sole inheritors because they're theirs, but only those in that mood, then they inherit it. It means they have it, and when they go from bhava to prema, they inherit that. Right? Because the fifth stage of bhava sadhana is inheritance. It means now you've inherited that. Means what? Means how you say what's coming down in that line, right? Then you get that. On the material level, mundane kama is concerned with the satisfaction of the material body and senses, and is thus entirely distinct from spiritual kama. Material lust is the perverted form of spiritual love. The lust which Kubja felt for Krishna and Mathura, though directed towards Krishna, cannot be described as transcendental kama. Material lust is selfishly directed to gratify one's own senses. Hence, it is low and despicable. Whereas kama, when it is an aspect of prema, is transcendentally blissful, divine, and selfless. Therefore, we should not hesitate to use the term aprakrita kama, transcendental lust. Right? This is just, they're completely distinct. Vrajana, kindly explain sambandha rupa raganuga bhakti, Raghunathas Babaji. To internally meditate upon and adopt the spiritual mellow of being Krishna's father, mother, or another familiar relationship is known as sambandha raganuga bhakti. In this mood of bhakti, there are three rasas, dasya, sakya, and vatsalya. The Vrajavasis embody the pristine mood of such relationships by asserting, I am Krishna's servitor, I am Krishna's friend, I am Krishna's father or mother, and so on. So, Surfit comes out here, but in some other places, mentioning that the Chit Shakti expands as these three rasas. So that will be found within that. Ladini expands as the Madhurya rasa. And this Sandini expands as the, Santa. You know, the cows, the grass, the trees, the animals like this. Yes?
Each jiva has a different rasa with Krishna, is that right?
What do you mean by different?
Well, there's 12.
It means you have to share. I mean, but I mean there's 12, so once you get to the 13th jiva, then there's a problem, or...?
No, they have one of those, right?
No, but here we're discussing the main four.
Oh, Okay. Well,
see, five remain. Seven are only supportive.
Yeah. So they have one of four.
Right.
You can have. But I don't understand how you can be, for example, the, like if jivas are, they're not, there's already certain positions filled in the spiritual world, and we're just going to be the supporters of that or the maids.
But the just is not kind of relevant here.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, how you say, the girl who gets called up on the stage for, you know, when Justin sings his song, she doesn't feel she's just a girl. Yeah, you understand?
Yeah.
So the point is assisting in these things is wonderful. Because the point is, see, Radha and Krishna are together, right? So then when they are together, their servants are seeing that, so they're appreciating each other's affection for each other. But the others are experiencing the affection that the two of them have for each other. So their actually experience of it is greater than the ones watching them, because now they become very ecstatic, but the ones watching them, they become more ecstatic than that. So the farther back you are, the more it's ecstatic. Right, while in the material world, the closer you are to the front, then that's better.
Right? How can you have a parental rasa with Krishna, because you can only have two parents?
From the Malecha culture, that's as good as it gets. But in the other cultures, let's just say Western, in the all other continents of the world, then you have that parental mood, so you can have that towards somebody even though you're not the parent.
Okay.
You don't have to have a biological connection to feel that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Just to clarify, Ladini is the Madhurya Rasa?
No, Ladini is the internal potency of Ananda.
Uh-huh.
The pleasure giving potency.
Yeah, okay.
Chit is the internal potency of knowledge and activity. Sandini is the spiritual potency of,
yeah.
You know, in other words, Satchit Ananda.
Yeah. So that's Samvit Chit potency.
Huh?
Samvit is the Chit potency.
Samvit and Chit are the,
yeah. Okay.
Sandini, Sat, Ladini, Ananda,
yeah.
The second.
Okay.
Our spiritual karma is to satisfy spiritual karma, in this sense, is spiritual lust to satisfy Krishna's senses?
Yes. Rajana, how does a devotee execute Raganuga Bhakti within the mellows of Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya rasas? Raghunathas Babaji, those devotees who relish Dasya ras internally emulate the sublime service mood of prominent servitors like Raktaka, Patraka, and other Nitya Siddhas of that mellow. Those in Sakya ras internally follow the Bhava Cheshtita, Mudra, mood, aspirations and specific activities, the Subal, Sridham, and other Nitya Siddhas of this mellow. Similarly, in Vatsalya Rasa's devotees internally follow the Bhava Cheshtita Mudra of Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jashoda, and others of that mellow in their service to Krishna. Brajanath, what does to follow the Bhava Cheshtita Mudra mean? Raghunathas Babaji, intrinsic to the permanent Bhava or of a Nitya Siddha, there are cheshtita, specific aspirations, which thereby manifest certain activities of devotional service, known as mudra and vyavahara. Seeing these activities, the sadhaka aspires to perform the same activities in his service to Krishna. For instance, the devotee following Nanda Maharaj and Vatsalya Ras, overcome with bhava, aspires to perform the same activities of those as Nanda Maharaj in his service to Krishna. However, the devotee must never take himself to be Nanda Maharaj, Subal, or Raktaka, but must remain subservient to the Nitya Siddha who he is emulating and meditate upon, and thus inculcate that bhava in his own service to Krishna. The aspiring devotee commits a serious offense if he imagines himself to be the nitya siddha whom he is emulating. Right? In other words, they have that mood, and so we simply assist in that in some way. So we may be involved in those same activities, but as assisted too. Right? Because that's the thing. Here, the farther back you are, the less nice it is. But there, the farther back it is, it gets better, because you just see more and more. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Mm-hmm. Previously, when Siddhadeha was revealed at the initiation, those people, they would follow Raghunanda Bhakti?
It means we had an initiation here yesterday. So what we're saying is that not name dropping here, as I said. We had initiation yesterday. Yeah. So it's that, but we didn't see any talking about the Surup Siddhi or this or that.
Hmm? It was yesterday. He told them.
No. They talked about Raghunuga Bhakti. Because he asked the question about it. They don't talk about the Sarup. No, because see, when you're talking about Sarup here, you're talking about what color you are, what family you're in, who's your parents, what's your specific color of dress, what's your specific service. Like that, there's 11 things. That hasn't come up. So it's not connected to initiation. In Radha Kund, yes. But amongst the bona fide Vaishnavas, no. It's not so much that you get it. It's a matter of that's the inclination. Like, the girl's interested in boys, and then she gets one. Right? She's not interested in boys. She doesn't get one. Does that make sense? So it's means it's not so mechanical. It's a matter of realization when it comes to that platform. So that's only if here, if you come basically to that platform of bhava. So unless you're liberated, there's no meaning to knowing who you are. You can't do anything with it. You know what I'm saying? If you're on the liberated platform, you can work with your sarup. If you're not on the liberated platform, you can't work with your sarup. You understand? So that's why it's categorized within the Raghunuga, but it's not the same as the Raghunuga where you're working within your sarup. Means, in other words, there's an interest. You like the particular services done by these particular devotees. Right? But who you are, all this and that, you have no idea. You just know there's an inclination towards that, as it mentions the Brahma Samhita. Brahma understood he was a maidservant of Krishna, but that's all he understood. Right? So that's the point. It's from that Madhyama platform. You can't know that much, but that's all. It's only until you get to the Uttama platform that then it's revealed exactly who you are. Because then you can use it. Otherwise, what's the use of revealing if you can't use it? Right? Then it just creates stupidness. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the difference. So that's why devotees would talk about Raghunuga before that. And so it is. There is that element by definition that it has that desire that's beyond just functioning just by the rules, that it's not based on the rules, say, I should do like this, that's why I'm doing. But it's not the same as the full form of the Raghunuga, where one is on the platform of bhava and one has that spiritual form, that one can actually perform, be involved in the pastimes. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, before that, you're meditating upon those devotees and the services they do. Right? Never thinking, I'm doing them. And then, when it comes to this later, is you're involved in the services, but never think that you will become whoever the Ragatmika devotee. Right? Does that make sense? So that means is that even though one's on the platform, Ragatmika, you're still Raganuga to the Ragatmika devotees above you, the actual Nitya Siddhas. Does that make sense? So technically you become a Nitya Siddha, but here Nitya Siddhas means those direct expansions of the Lord's internal potency. You know, they're the ones, by getting their association, then you emulate what they're doing. At the same time as in our line, then the gurus and that, they're jivas, so there's not a problem. Does that make some sense? You have to distinguish between Raganuga practice on the Madhyama platform and Raganuga practice on the Uttama platform. That's the difference. Though, it's seamless. You know, the definition's the same, but there is a slight difference. So then when it says anartha nivriti, it means, in its full sense, bhava. But it can also start applying from before that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Rajanath, which type of Raganuga Bhakti are we eligible to practice? Raghunath Das Babaji, my son, you must analyze your own partiality. Your spiritual temperament will mirror your ruchi, and that ruchi will guide you to your favored transcendental rasa.
I understand your mood. They won't do it right now. You know what you bring to them. You know who they are.
Okay. You see. But the point is, unless there's an interest, it can't be there. But the point is you also see is what place they're at and what's the taste. You can see that according to when they got the Gopal mantra, they're rolling on the ground and ecstasy and tears are coming from the eyes. So work on that one first. You know, like that.
Rolling on the ground is easy.
Yeah.
Is that like dancing? Like Prabhupada says that if we don't want to dance, we should just pretend to be dancing then? Or is that, are we venturing into sahaja territory?
Kind of like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Surrender to the Nitya Siddha stalwart of a particular rasa of your own choice. Try to imbibe his or her bhava, and thus practice Raganuga Bhakti. If you have developed a relish for Rag Bhakti, follow with activities that are appropriate and supportive. If you've not developed firm and steady attachment to Rag Bhakti, sincerely pursue the regulated path of Vaidhi Bhakti with full confidence in its eventual fruition. Right? So that's just taking the position. Right? Gurudev, I've been studying the Srimad Bhagavatam for a long time, and I am always eager for an opportunity to hear about the pastimes of Sri Krishna. Whenever I meditate upon the wonderful deeds and frolics of the Lord, certain emotions are stirred up within me. I strongly feel the desire to serve the divine couple in the mood of Sri Lalita Devi. Raghunathas Babaji, yes, I understand your mood. You are a Manjari under the guidance of Lalita Devi. To what type of service do you aspire? Vijaya, I feel that Sri Lalita Devi wants me to string flower garlands. I would like to pick beautiful flowers, string garlands, and lay them in the divine hands of Lalita Devi. Upon receiving them, she will flash me a brilliant and merciful smile and gently slip them around the exquisite, beautiful faces of Srimati Radhika and Sri Krishna. Raghunathas Babaji, I bless you, my boy. Let your endeavors for such spiritual service be consummated in spiritual perfection. Having been showered with such a blessing... Oh, this is Vijay, not Vrajanath. Okay. Vijay Kumar was overwhelmed and fell at the feet of Raghunathas Babaji, weeping profusely. Very pleased with the sincere mood of devotion of Vijay Kumar, Raghunathas Babaji said to him, my son, continue your practice of Raganuga Bhakti in this manner. Always execute the Vaidhi Bhakti limbs externally, but cultivate intense Raganuga Bhakti within. Vrajanatha was inspired upon seeing the good fortune of Vijay Kumar and Raghunathas Babaji's demonstration of compassion. So he said to Raghunath Das Babaji, Maharaj, whenever I meditate upon the pastimes of Krishna, an urge to serve Krishna under the guidance of Subal strongly compels me. Raghunath Das Babaji, what devotional service attracts you the most? Vrajanath, together with Subal, I imagine myself to be running after the straying calves of Krishna's herd, bringing him back to the fold. Krishna sits there playing his flute, and Subal next to him, then asks me to take the calves for feed and water, and afterwards bring them back to Krishna. Raghunath Das Babaji, I bless you to serve Krishna under the direction of Subal. You are eligible for Sakya Ras. Then a miracle happened, and from that moment on, Vijaya's heart throbbed with anticipation, waiting for the slightest indication to perform any service for Lalita Devi. He saw Raghunath Das Babaji with a new understanding, as a manifestation of Lalita Devi in person, right? Because the guru represents whoever's in the line. Like we say, the spiritual master is representing Radharani or representing Balaram. Right, so it's either the conjugal line or the other services of Vrindavan. Because Balaram would mean parental friendship or servitorship. Right, and Radharani would mean conjugal. So the spiritual master does that. That was the complaint, just a point being made by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about his brother. That when his father died, then his brother had him cremated. Right? And he says that's the difference. He says, you see him as Baba, which is Bengali for father. I see him as Radha, you know, representing Radharani. So I would have put him in Samadhi, you know, but you burnt him. Like that. Does that make sense? Yes.
When you first started reading that part, you said of your choice. So does that...
it's not like you sit here and I'll take one from column A and I'll take one from column B. Not like that.
I thought it was predetermined.
But, so what's the problem?
So then how is it your choice? It's already there, but it's just covered up. So you've just got to uncover it. It's not like you choose one and you just go for it.
Yeah. But what's the problem?
Well, that's what it said in the beginning.
No. But what's the actual problem?
Why did it say that in the book?
No. That's a judicial thing. So is this a judicial thing, or is it about the freedom of choice?
Well, I want to know if it's on the stage
or not. So it has to be right or wrong. It can't be that all of these things are correct.
Are they?
Let's say your mom cooks dinner and puts it in front of you. You have a choice to eat it or go to bed.
Yeah, but you don't get to choose which dinner you have.
But the point is if you have an inherent rasa, the choice is to take it up.
Okay. I thought it's the choice of which rasa you want.
But the point is that how will that be raganuga?
Exactly.
Because it's coming from spontaneous from the heart. That's the point, is that we have our own ideas what choice means. We have choice means I have the freedom to step back and you know do what I want. But the point is it's a matter of these things are awoken. So all it's talking about is how these things work. They can't, these elements can't be turned into a ritual. You know, does that make sense? I mean, this is coming up here, now it's not, oh, now I'll go ask my guru about, you know, if I can, you know, be in this rasa. But then that's vaidhi. Here, this is just naturally coming up in that particular development. We're not getting anywhere here. Okay.
It's okay, I'll read it later.
No, it's not a matter of that. See, it's your choice as well. Well, that looks nice, but maybe that looks nice. Well, this is nice. So which one? Which one? Oh, whoa. You know, wow, this is really a tough choice. The choice is that looks nice. I like that.
So that means you're finding out, you're realizing it?
That element is there, yes. But the point is you're still making that choice. Just like, let's say, so many people find out, let's say, he's going along and he's, you know, just grown up, gone to school, kind of like everybody else, and this and that, and not been, you know, dealt with in any specific way. You know, he's under a guardianship and all that. And then when he gets to 18, then he finds out that he's actually the heir to, you know, a billion-dollar empire. He can accept that or not. Does that make sense? It's not like, you know, sitting back and one's in a neutral state. Well, it could be this and that. Well, the color on that's nice, but this one, you know, kind of has this, but this one over here has the... It's not choice like that. It's not like shopping. You know what I'm saying? Now let's give another example. The girl walks down the street, and then she's just walking along. She looks across the street. She sees some boy. She likes the boy. Now, will she consider that her choice? She won't tell others that, you know, okay, who is it? Who is it? You know, oh, well, I saw that. It's not a choice? Yeah. Okay, so it's a choice, but at the same time, it's a natural, spontaneous attraction.
I just thought that at such an elevated state, it's not, he's just bound to go there. Like, it's not like he's going to turn back now.
No, but then that makes the choice that's an option to turn back.
Yeah, and I don't think that's possible.
So my question is, why are we discussing this?
The wording.
Well, I don't quite get it. No, but that doesn't work. So it means bring it up, go through with it. But the point is what's the wording that's not working? See, because what we've been discussing is we have our ideas of what words mean.
Do you mind if I get back to you?
Oh, okay. Fine. Raghunatha, are there further instructions regarding Raghunuga Bhajan? Raghunathas Babaji replied, "You have received most of the information. Nevertheless, there are other details you must know pertaining to your spiritual identity. Your name, form, dress, etc. Come to me alone and I will reveal them to you." Vijay Kumar then prostrated himself before the Guru in deep gratitude. Okay, that was Vijay. Okay. On the other hand, Raghunathas saw his Guru, Raghunathas Babaji, from that moment on as a manifestation of Subal. Raghunathas Babaji also asked him to come alone later so that he could be given the details of his spiritual identity, his name, form, dress, etc. Similarly, Vrajanath prostrated himself before his guru and offered heartfelt prayers at his lotus feet. That evening, fully absorbed in Raghunuga Bhakti consciousness, Vrajanath and Vijay Kumar felt indescribably elated. Externally, as they continued their life as usual, no visible changes could be seen. In their hearts, however, Vijay Kumar developed the transcendental female sentiments of a Vrajagopi, and Vrajanath nurtured the spiritual temperament of a Vrajagopa, young coward boy of Vraja. Like a miracle, all these internal adjustments took place just within moments of receiving a pure devotee's mystical touch. Right? But the point is they're qualified. Not that, oh, how come I haven't gotten that? The point is if you're qualified, you would get it. Like that. And the best part about it doesn't matter if you don't bump into that now, because at Bhava, it'll become apparent anyway. You know? You know what I'm saying? The point is we're expecting it to happen here. It'll happen there. You know what I'm saying? So it's these kind of things you don't have to worry about, because when we take these things and try to, the point is we have to be very careful about ritualizing them. That's what then happens. Right? That's the aspect that one should be very careful about. Yes.
It's also very interesting that Raghunath Das Babaji explains the Gopa Swarupa and the Gopi Swarupa, and it has no conflict, because so many people, they think, you know, Gopi Bhav, Manjari Bhav, it's just like this, and but he's doing, one is following the footsteps of the boys and one girl, so that's fine.
Yeah, it does. The point is whatever is your natural position, that's what you're going to be and do. So it doesn't matter. It's just like, you know, like he's saying, okay, here's all the things, then what are you attracted to? He's not saying which one do you want, which are you attracted to. That's the point. So one's saying, well, I like this preparation. The other's saying, I like that preparation. Okay, so then you take this, you take that. It doesn't matter. But the point is that it's that natural attraction. We've been hearing these things, but that kind of attraction hasn't awoken. Mm. It's not a matter of thinking, well, that would be good. No, it's a matter of it just arises. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? So from that, then naturally these things are there. So this would have been a tradition that would have been done because you had more of that. Remember, Raghunath Das Babaji was just sitting there in his kutir. Mm. These people came looking for him. Mm. Right? And you see the questions they're asking, the background they have, the qualifications. So then it may work at this. So it's showing what is the, you know, all the different aspects, because you're trying to deal with everything in one literature. Right? So all the different options, everything that comes and everything that you're dealing with. So then it will all be there explained. So, you found it. Okay.
Would you like me to tell you now or
after the talk? Yeah, no. Now it's fine. See, because the thing is we go back to what's before, is the concept that there's something wrong, that means that one doesn't have the faith in Shastra. The point is the Shastra is never contradictory. It's only our lack of understanding. We don't understand this. Like Arjuna, Krishna explained him to in spiritual life in the second chapter. But in the opening of the third chapter, he's asking, I can't understand, these two seem to be contradictory, please explain this. So it's not a matter of one's right, one's wrong, or what's going on here, it's a matter of I don't understand it. So that's the point that we were making before. It's not a matter of that something's wrong, that's what I was saying. Is it a matter of justice, is it a matter of editorial, is it a matter of... it appears these are. I don't understand how to reconcile these. So, how to bring these two together? That's different, because Praman, the Shastra, is not wrong like that. It's just a matter of you're explaining so many things that are beyond time and space that we sometimes get confused, because we in our conditioning we attribute certain meanings to certain words. That's why you see when they go through, they really spend time defining words. Yes, what exactly does this word mean? What does this word mean? Because otherwise we have our own ideas of what they mean. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's why they give those definitions. You know, and as we're studying that, like here we see Ramanuja, because he's come, you know, just shortly after Shankaracharya. So then he's defining things according to the language and culture and conditioning of the people at that time that are conditioned to the Shankara philosophy. So therefore, they want monism. So, but the point is they're after bogus monism, right? They're after monism that's actually Buddhism. So he's showing what real monism is, where you see everything is connected to the Lord. That's oneness. Right? Because now they actually, though they say monists, they're actually dualists. Right, because they see the Lord and they see everything else as something separate. Right, so he's showing you like monism. Here's real monism. It's just like somebody is, you know, the kids eating mud in the backyard. So he shows them what real food is. Does that make sense? So that's why he takes that angle. Does that make sense? So there's no contradiction. Does that make sense? Okay. So then, what's the point?
The way I asked word of the question of hunger was too, it wasn't humble enough.
It's not a matter of humble, it's a matter of do we want to know.
Yeah.
That's the real thing.
No, you're right. I'm confused about it. Okay, so my understanding is that a rasa is like a personality. It's inherent and it can't be changed.
Yes, but still, one still gets attracted to that. Just like he's a boy, you can't change that he'll be attracted to a girl. You understand? But that point of that coming of that attraction, that's his choice.
Okay, so
does that make sense?
Yeah, but what I'm confused about is
we are talking kind of like a
traditional
kind of, you know, formula here.
So it says your spiritual temperament will mirror your ruchi, and that ruchi will guide you to your favored transcendental rasa. Surrender to the Nitya Siddha stalwart of a particular rasa of your own choice.
Yeah, but the point is in there is following the ruchi. It means the choice is the ruchi, the taste. What is the taste? That's what you're following. So someone's taste is this, someone's taste is that.
Okay.
You understand? Because if you like something, right, means you decide you like something. Okay? But the thing is technically you're being forced by the modes of nature to go in the direction of that. Right? But we'll still call it choice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inherent. So if we take it on the spiritual platform, it's inherently your nature. You're attracted to that. It's still your choice. Because, you know, you could do that, you could stay in Maya. You know what I'm saying? Because the thing is if it's your taste, why would you choose something else? Right? If you like strawberries better than apples, why choose apples? You would choose strawberries. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess my confusion came in that why would he say that it's his choice when he's obviously heading towards that and he's on this platform and he's...
No, but this is my question. Is there an issue about choice here? So then if it's not, then... let us say you're sitting in a fancy restaurant. Okay? And so then you're given a choice. But what is that choice? What's the choice? Where's the choice?
Menu.
On the menu. Who's made the menu? Yeah, so can you just choose anything you want? It's a French restaurant. So can you tell them that you want a burrito? You understand? People say, no, that's not, you know what I'm saying? So the thing is choice has many different regulations. We're taking the thing, choice means anything I want, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. But where is that? There is no such thing as that. You know what I'm saying? So choice means in the given situation, what thing you're attracted to, that you call your choice. So the point is there are four rasas there to choose from. The one that you're attracted to naturally by taste, that is called choice. Does that make sense? Why I'm asking is if it's an issue, because the living entity is thinking that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So therefore, if I don't have more variety or more options, I think that if it's limited, then my options for enjoyment is less. Right? It means there's always things you want to keep the options open. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not like that. It's a matter of this is the taste. So therefore, that's the choice. So you choose to follow that. But it's not a problem. If it's inherently your nature, you don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? It's only in the material world where the soul is different. And so, therefore, you could go so many directions because you have 8,400,000 choices to choose from. Though by the modes, you generally tend towards these, you know, 20 or 30, you know, like that. You know, in other words, it's basically like a dog, but whether it's going to be more of an Afghan or more of a bulldog. Or, you know, I mean, it's just maybe, you know, but a terrier is a little bit more this or whatever, you know, like that. So it's... Is that my sense? Okay, yes.
They also dealt in the material, the choice cuts off other options.
Yes. But the point is here, something that you really want, no one has a problem with. It's not seen as a difficulty of free will. It is the free will. So free will means choice. You know, but we're taking, well, if that's your nature, you're going to do that anyway. But then, so what? You know, the cat will chase the mouse. The dog will chase the cat. Anybody has a problem with that? But it's the dog's choice. He could also just lay there. As the cat walks by, the dog could just lay there. You know, it's too much trouble to chase the cat. Cat wins anyway. And, you know, he likes the end of his nose, how it is now. You know, so, you understand? So it's his choice. You know, but the point is it's a matter of the choices, you know, whether, you know, he wants to follow his natural nature or not. Is that okay? Does this work? See, some of these things is by logic. See, we technically speaking, at the beginning of chapter 21, then, in other words, the intelligence should be used to understand what is the difference between things, what are the actual proper things and things like that. But the point of analyzing the terminology in the way of the viability of it, you know, is technically over by this time. You have 20 chapters are there to actually understand what is bhakti. And then there'll be 20 chapters to define, you know, within that personal aspect of the bhakti. I mean, if we have a problem now, this is 21. Wait till we get the puri, like that. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, it's really quite complex topic.
No, it is. But what I'm saying is that, therefore, at this point, it's a matter if you don't understand something, that's fine, ask, but it's not a matter of something's wrong. It's a matter of it's so complex, I don't know how to connect all these things together. So, you know, how to make it more clear. Does that make sense? Because that's the point. It's the mentality. It's not that we don't understand. That's what's going on here. It's that they don't understand something, or they want to know more about something. So asking questions. So the whole point is, you know, we see there's more questions being asked per page in this section than there is in any other. But at the same time, is the definitions are more exact because there's more background behind it. You know, but at the same time, as you know, we haven't gone from, you know, being a smart Brahmin to a Raghunuga Sadaka in, you know, 10 chapters, you know, like that. So therefore, it may move a little faster than, you know, we might be moving at. So it's understood there'll be questions. So don't worry about the questions. All I'm pointing out is be very careful that our conditioned concept of choice is not superimposed on this aspect of the natural choice. You know what I'm saying? Because there is the natural nature of living entities and their interaction. Right? Then there's what happens when that natural is not there. You know what I'm saying? When we're not situated on the spiritual platform, we're in the material world, it gets weird. But as long as it's pious, then it's a kind of recognizable weird. When it leaves piety, then it gets really weird. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just conventional piety, what people say is pious or not. But when it gets into just, you know, not being impious, then it gets even more strange. That's why it requires so many species of life to take care of all the mentalities. Does that make sense? So what we're defining here is within that realm of culture and piety, and from that then going into the spiritual. Right? Is that okay? Yes. Yes.
Or something I found interesting was that the advice he's giving to Vijay Kumar and Vrajanath, if they don't yet have firm attachment for Rag Bhakti, he's not telling them to go and experiment, you know, through trial and error and try out this one. If it doesn't work for you, try out this rasa.
Yes, yes.
He says go back to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and
it'll be revealed. Yes, yes.
So there's no question of like experimentation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Is that also kind of that's relevant? There's he's saying if that's what's come up, then you follow it like this. But if that hasn't come up, you just go back to practice Vaidhi Sadhana, and it will naturally with time come up. You know, it's just like if someone's not healthy, then they're not necessarily hungry. But if they practice their regimen of health, when they become healthy, they'll become hungry. It's just automatic. Right? So that's the thing. He's not saying go do this, that, and why don't you try this a little bit. And, you know, so that's the thing when it gets played with. The sahajis, they play with this stuff. And they make it into a trip. What they do is they just make it into its own vaidhi. You know? So all we're doing here is understanding what the actual position is. It's not a matter of, well, how come we're not getting this and that and so many things. The point is you follow it, it will come. So if it's not come, means then we have to work on it. But the point is the faith that's there, how they're dealing with the guru, all these things, that's you know, these all have effect. So it's not the form of it, it's the mood of it, because raga is the mood. So the point is that mood is there. And so because of that surrender, that faith, that kind of practice, then we see is that everything is coming very naturally. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So what's being pointed out is you keep chanting Hare Krishna, and this is naturally what progresses. Like that. It's not a matter of why isn't it happening, Hare Krishna, is it? Nope, not yet. But you know, it's not like that. You know, it's a matter of, yeah.
Need to shake more.
Shake more, yeah. Maybe. Like that. Or combine. You can do this and also like that. Like that. And sometimes if you stand in front of a wall, it works better. Like that. Yeah, yeah. But, just don't hit your head.
I know a devotee who was doing that at a motel, and then on the other side of the door, there was an old couple living, and they could hear him, so they opened the door, and he's kind of big, so he was standing there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, and they opened the door like 4 a.m. in the morning. And there he was, so they got quite scared. Didn't expect that at 4 a.m. in the morning.
No.
Got benefit, though.
Yeah, definitely got benefit.
Although maybe they didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. Spiritual rasa of fear. It is, of course, true that everything had been there in a latent form, okay?
Hmm.
Are you listening to this one? It's your sentence here. Right? Late that night, so that's the whole point, is that taste, so that's the choice that's being made. You're following the taste, that's the point, that's the raganugi, you're following the rag, the attachment. But it's not an intellectual point, because generally we take choices intellectual, but here it's not. Vijay, late that night, Rajakumar and Vrajanath begged leave from Sri Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj and walked slowly towards the Bilva Pushkarini Lake, chanting the Maha Mantra upon their Tulsi beads. Vijay Kumar inquired softly, "Well, Vrajanath, our wishes have been fulfilled. You will surely receive the mercy of Sri Krishna by the grace of such a pure Vaishnava. Here and now, it is best to decide upon your future course of action. Tell me honestly, what do you want, marriage or life as a mendicant? I do not wish to influence your decision in any way. I merely want to know so that I may explain the facts to your mother." Right? And then there's the grandmother.
Yeah.
Rajanath, "Uncle, I respect and love you. Moreover, you are a scholar and a Vaishnav. In the absence of my father, you are my guardian. I am ready to accept anything you say. The reason I want to avoid marriage is because I fear I may become materially attached and forget the spiritual goal. What is your opinion? Vijay, you must consider all aspects and come to a conclusion, but without my interference. Vrajanath, I strongly feel that I must discuss this matter with Sri Gurudev and then act. Vijaya, that is the best idea. We will find out the instruction of Sri Gurudev on this tomorrow. Vrajanath, uncle, what have you decided? Are you planning to remain in your household or go traveling? Vijaya, son, I am also faced with this dilemma.
I don't think that was the tagline.
No, it doesn't exactly sound like Gora. Sometimes I think I must emancipate myself from the flames of household life and go on an endless pilgrimage. But the next moment I think that this might steal my heart. It means make the heart like steel. Mm. Bhakti rasa does not blossom in an arid heart. And I do not want to be deprived of this rasa. Therefore, I also have made up my mind to find out the truth from our Gurudev tomorrow and then follow his orders.
It's interesting that they are on such an elevated platform and they still have this dilemma.
That's the benefit why household life is, 20, 30 years. So you can work these things out. See, because he's pointing out it's not a matter of renunciation, it's a matter of what is the best position for the nature that you have and the particular, moment of what you're dealing with that nature. So in other words, it's not that the two can't go side by side, but the point is then they would look at the household life differently than that. It's not a problem. The Brajvasis are also householders. You know what I'm saying? There's no renunciates in the pastimes that we know of. Even, we have the past where Durvasa Muni comes. But other than that, there aren't any. So it's not a problem. So in other words, they've engaged everything in Krishna's service. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, whatever is the position, then.
Could it be that here is more than internal bhajan? Because externally they act, and Vrajavasi, they externally the same?
It's externally, internally the same, but the point is with the gopis, they're in the household life, right? Now, how will it go if anybody finds out that they're all out dancing with Krishna?
Not well.
Okay. So that means they're there, they're doing the household duties, they're doing all the different things. They're making cow dung patties, they're taking care of the babies, or they're doing all these different things, cooking and cleaning and right? But at the same time it's all, they're all thinking about Krishna and connected with Krishna. So the situation's not actually the problem. It's just for one's position, what will be more comfortable? Let's say you have a young gopi, she's at her father's house. How much can she go out on errands in the village? Not at all. But if she's married, then she could. So what's better for? What's better for that gopi, to be married or not?
Married.
Married, yeah. You understand? So it's a matter of what's favorable for the position you're in. So, whatever will work. If you're comfortable in an environment of renunciation, then you function in that. Right? It means you have to understand they're both technically grihasthas. One's already married and one's supposed to be married. It's not that Rajanath is living in an ashram as a brahmachari, so now it's time to graduate, so he's not sure whether he should go home and get married or just remain in the ashram. He's already living at home. He's already living that lifestyle like a grihastha, just he hasn't been married yet. Because he was doing his studies and establishing his school and doing all that. So once that's done, then he can focus nicely. That's why they're saying, okay, now's the time. He's knowledgeable, he has a school, he's respected in the community, so now he can get married. Does that make sense? So now it's just a matter of what will work nicely. Is that okay? You know, but on the other side is, yeah, it means that if you are on this platform, then it's a matter of, you know, the point, does that make sense? But the point is it's a matter of if you're, it's before that, then it has some meaning. Right? Oh, but the thing is Rajana, he's his uncle, so he's the same age mother, so he's been around a while. So then for him, moving into the Vanaprastha would be a natural position. But Vrajanath is still young. So then we will see what Guruji has to say, if it comes up now, or if they ask, because it's been on a question, you know, for a while, so now whether it will actually be asked. Remember.
Tune in tomorrow,
yeah, because it says tomorrow. Yeah. We'll ask tomorrow.
Just in conclusion.
Summary of chapter 22. Nitya Dharma, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Part 10, the initial discussion of Prayojana. Anakadasi, Vijay Kumar, and Vrajanath went to Srivasanga to see Raghunath Das Babaji. They fell flat before him in humble submission. Vijaya asked, "Gurudev, what does the platform of Bhava Bhakti mean?" Raghunath Das Babaji, after extended and tenacious performance of sadhana bhakti, a devotee is promoted to the platform of perfection, whose first stages are known as bhava-vastha. Right? So here, technically, when we generally use the term perfection, that means the stage of liberation of bhava, like that, because prema is beyond perfection. Right? Perfection means now one is spiritually situated. Right? So as a non-devotee, then one is spiritually situated, but it's not actually a great situation. Right? Mm-hmm. But for the devotee, then they're in the spiritual situation, and that's most ideal, because they're in the spiritual association of the eternal associates of the Lord. Does that make sense? Right? So then therefore, there's seemingly these two opposing concepts of, you know, the spiritual position. Right? Raghunath Das Babaji, a description is given in first part of the 10th shloka of the Dasamula Siksha. The jiva attains his sarup when his sadhana bhakti matures. At this stage, the Haladini Shakti endows it with bhava in Madhurya Rasa, honey-like nectarian mellows, as he aspires to become a servant of one of the eternal associates of Sri Radha, Radha Krishna in Braja. Even whilst in this world, he is employed in the unalloyed service of the supreme embodiment of sublime bliss and experiences ineffable exaltation. To attain this transcendental treasure is of unsurpassable value for the jiva. Okay, so he's asked about... Okay, Bhava Bhakti. Vijaya, Gurudev, we wish to hear in detail about the concept of bhava. Raghunath Das Babaji, if prema is compared to the sun, then bhava is the rays of the sun. Bhava is transcendental emotion composed of pure transcendental goodness, and it blossoms in the sarup of the jiva. This is the sarup lakshana of bhava. Another term for bhava is rati. Others may prefer to designate bhava as premankura, the buds of prema. The sarup shakti is the all-illuminating internal potency of Sri Krishna. One of its prime characteristics is known as samvit, also known as vishuddha sattva, which is always transcendental to the material nature. When this consciousness of vishuddha sattva emulsifies with the hladini shakti, bhava is produced. Right, so it's also, you see, is that this is where bhakti is also, is samvit and ladini. Then you get bhakti. In other words, when knowledge and activity is being done with the idea of pleasing Krishna, then that becomes bhakti. So now the same things, when the samvit in its natural state and ladini, then it becomes bhava. Mm. With the help of Samvit, the devotee acquires lucid comprehension of the ultimate object of life, right? Because that's the knowledge aspect. Shri Krishna, and through Huladini, he's blessed with relish of that ultimate objective. In other words, he can see and he can relish. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is that through the sadhana, that one's doing it to please Krishna, then one becomes imbued with the internal potency. Mm-hmm. Then these things naturally develop. But it's not a matter of, I did the work, where's my result? Because then that's karma mimamsa. Mm-hmm. Right, it's a matter of, I'm doing it, it pleases the Lord and his devotees, then naturally we get these things. Mm-hmm. Right? Shri Krishna is only realized by the agency of his unlimited personal Samvit Shakti, the Sarup Shakti Vritti. He cannot be realized by the minuscule Samvit Shakti of the individual Jiva. Right? So in his personal Samvit Shakti, because we have Sat Chit Ananda, so the amount of Chit that we have is not enough to realize Krishna. But because it's of the same nature, therefore it comes in contact with Krishna's Chit, then it works. Mm-hmm. When the Samvit Shakti of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord blossoms in the heart of the devotee by the mercy of the Lord, or the Lord's pure devotee, only then does the devotee become fully enlightened and enlivened with perception of the spiritual world. The spiritual world is the manifestation of Vishuddha Sattva, whereas the material world is composed of a mixture of the three material qualities, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. When the Haladini Shakti appears and combines with the perception of the spiritual world bestowed by the Samvit Shakti in the heart of the devotee begins to relish the transcendental realm with increasing bhava. Right? So in other words, by Samvit he's able to realize, but by Haladini he's able to taste.
Mm. Mm.
Does that make sense? Because realizing is one thing, tasting is another.
Mm.
Right? Does that make sense? Mm. So that would also answer something there, is that they're realizing, but then there's the taste. Right?
Mm.
When this enrelishment of the transcendental realm intensifies many-fold, and is fully consummated, bhava is converted into prema. Right? So in other words, when bhava becomes that mature state, it's full. If this prema is taken to be the sun, then bhava makes up the sun rays. The unique symptom of bhava is that it completely cleanses the heart of impurities and softens the heart to the state where it can easily melt. Right? Because otherwise then the heart isn't quite, you know, it means it's not quite there. It's almost there. You have some, it has potential, but it's a matter of it being there. Right? Okay. So, and here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki.
Jai
Jainatai Gaurapremi.